come together once again as a body of believers, and that my prayer is that you've had a wonderful week. My week has not been so great. I have been sick with the flu since Tuesday, and I was not able to make it for Midweek Lift Bible Study. And so I am now fully recovered and not contagious. So I have definitely gone through the flu this year. And I have not, to be honest with you, I have not been through the flu in many, many years. I have been able to miss it. But this year, I can feel it. The older I get, it looks like it's going to be a flu shot for the following year. And I've never had a flu shot in my life. So it looks like I may have to start doing that the older I get. That's what happens when you get older. Things begin to take place. And the things that you tried to miss when you were younger, the older you get, you don't seem to miss it. So, but thank the Lord, I am doing better. Matter of fact, I was praying as I was sick as a dog, and I was actually laying hands on myself, laying at the edge of my bed, and I was praying for myself. Folks, there are some times where you have to lay your hands on yourself and begin to pray and ask the Lord to touch your body. And don't think it's ever strange, because those are those things that God has instructed us to do, that when we become sick, if there's no one else around, lay hands on yourself and begin to quote God's word and begin to pray and allow the Lord to touch your body, because I do believe in the power of prayer. And I do believe that when you do get sick and there's no one around to pray for you, put your hands on yourself. I laid my hands on my shoulder and I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch my sick body. And I began to pray and begin to believe. And what I did also. Someone had sent me a message of a few more people that needed prayer. So here I was, sick as I could be. I just turned around and began to read the text that someone sent me that needed prayer, and I began to pray for them while I'm sick. I begin to get my mind off myself and my mind on the Lord and my mind on somebody else that was much sicker than I was. They were dealing with cancer, and I said, Lord, touch them, touch their body. I'm sick, but Lord, I'm not as sick as them. And so I begin to pray for them. And so I want you to know today that when we have ailments in our bodies and issues that come in our lives, God has given us the power, folks. He's given us the authority. He is giving us that we can pray, not in ourselves, but we can pray in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is our healer. He is our great physician. He is the great I am. And I thank God today that you and I are living and knowing that Jesus Christ is in charge. He's in control. He's not out of control, and sees exactly what you and I go through. And praise be to the Lamb of God. Today, God is with us, and I thank God for that today as well. I have been doing in the last weeks here, we have been doing a series called The Unshaken Faith in the Final Days. And so we're looking at this a little bit more. I've got a few more weeks yet in this series. This is series sermon number 6. And the title of my message today is this, Coping in the Last Days. And I want us to look at this in the scriptures today. I do believe that we are in the last days, and Now, when will that end? I don't know. As we see Bible prophecy, we see things that are unfolding every day. We see things that are happening. But I do know until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, I know that we're going to have to cope with a few things before He returns. And so I want to give you some scripture here today, and we want to look at this a little bit today. So if you have your Bibles today, hold them up high. That's the sword of the Spirit. Let's look at Luke's Gospel, the 21st chapter, beginning with the 25th verse. Luke 21 and 25. We're in the New Testament. And so we want to look at 21 and 25. And I'm going to give you a few seconds to get there. And we're going to look at this as well. Coping in the last days. Luke 21 and 25. Luke 21 and 25. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea, the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Verse 29, and then He spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees when they are already budding. You see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Can I hear an amen to God's word? I want us to look at this passage. These passage of scriptures here, I want us to look at this. And I want us to see this clearly as the Word begins to let us know that there will be, and there will come a day, that there will be a sign in the sun. Now, I know a lot of things are going on because we look at our calendars and we see the blood moon and we see the Ringo of Fire, you know, we see that and we follow it in so many months, so many years. You'll see this, you'll see that, you'll see the eclipse. I remember back many years ago when a big eclipse came through Columbia, if you remember that, and the birds started chirping like it's nighttime, and everybody had those special glasses on, and they were looking up in the sky, and of course there were some that wasn't having the special glasses on and thought they'd just get bright and bold and wound up messing their retinas up in their eyes because they didn't do what the doctors were telling them to do. And so you had all kind of craziness going on, and so we have seen all of that going on. You've lived it. You've lived to see an eclipse. You've lived to see the blood moon. You've seen the Ringo star or the Ringo around the sun and around the moon. And you've seen all of this with the sun's reflection and going through all of this. But I want you to know here today what the Scripture says here. that the signs will come, and it will be in the sun, it will be in the moon, it'll even be in the stars. But not only will it be in the sun, the moon, and the stars, but then we're going to see distress of nations. We're going to see perplexity of the seas and the waves roaring. And we're also going to see, as you see this step by step, then you're going to see where man's hearts will fear, will fall for the fear of the expectation of things that are to come upon the earth. In other words, the wrath of God will be coming, but in the process of all of that coming, the power of heaven and earth will be shaken, and we will see, as the Bible says in verse 27, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power of great glory. What a time to be alive today, because these are things that will come about. A time of fulfilled prophecy, a time of expectation that will take place, a time of open doors. Now is that time to share the good news and share the gospel, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. And the Word of God is letting us know that Jesus Christ is coming. He will split the eastern skies. We will see Him. And now is the time for us to be right, be ready, be prepared, because we don't know, as we've been doing this study, we don't know when He will come. Not even the angels in heaven that knows when He's coming. But one day He's going to come just as a thief in the night, as Jesus says. Listen, it is a time for us to understand how close the Lord is in His coming. But there is another view of this time. There's the fear. It's epidemic. It's epic. Fragile marriages and relationships are taking place. In Luke 17 and 26, as it was in the days of Noah, listen to what God's Word says, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And I want you to know today that Jesus is coming back, but it may not mean that the world's going to be changed. It does not mean that the world is going to go a different direction. The Bible says the world will be as it is. It will continue on just as the days of Noah. Nobody believed that Noah building that boat was going to float. They didn't know that there was not going to be any rain, because it had not rained in 100 years. So why would it rain now? And so now we're living in that world right now, with that atmosphere that Jesus in their minds think He's not coming back. He's not alive. He's lying. It's not true. That's what the enemy is trying to say throughout the world. But I want you to know, Jesus clearly lets us know, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. The Bible lets us know about falling and fall into moral standards. Luke 17 and 28, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. What are you saying, Pastor? Just as it was in the Old Testament, just as they were doing what they want to do, be what they want to be, say what they want to say, go where they want to go, do what they want to do, God let them go ahead and do it, but when it was all said and done, He destroyed. He is a God of love, but He is a God of just. And He is going to do as He says He's going to do, but He cannot look at sin. He cannot be around sin. He cannot tolerate sin. But when it gets time for God to come on the scene and begin to extinguish all that wickedness, then God is going to do as He said He would do. The Bible lets us know that the full heads, but restless hearts. We see this in Daniel 12 and 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. How does one cope in such a time? We live in a world that there are things that are going on that will make your head spin. And we're living in a world right now that we're dealing with AI. You are literally dealing with AI. Someone the other day that I work with, he told me that his cousin has ordered a robot that's made by Tesla and showed me the video of this robot standing beside his cousin. And I watched this video because I could not believe this robot. This robot literally, it didn't look like a human, but it was a robot that could clean the house. It could mop the floors. It could take out the trash. It could do all of these things. And I'm scratching my head and I'm going like, this is a robot. And he was saying, yeah, he said, my cousin ordered this robot to clean the house. And I'm going like, I can't believe it. So it's all programmed to do all kinds of things that it is programmed to do in this house. And when I watch the video, I'm going like, man, I can't even believe this. But we are here, folks. There are literally robots that can actually do that and actually take care and clean your house. It was unbelievable. But this is what the Bible says here in Daniel 12 and 4. It's being fulfilled. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall increase. We're living in that world. That is so why that we must be able to cope in the last days, because there are things that are coming upon the land, folks. There are things that we are witnessing day in and day out. Technology is unbelievable. I just heard just the other day, Elon Musk is coming out with his own phone. Tesla phone. Everybody's got Apple. Everybody's got an Android. Well, guess what? There's a Tesla phone that's coming out. And it's going to be cheaper than the iPhone, and it's going to be cheaper than the Android phone. But here's the difference. It's not on cell towers. It's on his satellite dishes, and they're all around the world. So he says you can go around the world and never lose a signal, because there's so many satellites that he owns in the world. Folks, I'm telling you today, we need to understand how that we are to cope in a world with technology that's going on. Now, don't get me wrong. Technology is not bad if it's being used for the right way. But if it's using for the wrong way, then we have to be careful as Christians. We have to be mindful. We have to be prepared. We have to understand that these things will come about. The Bible also lets us know, don't act like that it's strange, that it's unusual, because it's not. The Bible's fulfilling itself that the technology is going to increase. Daniel is letting us know it is going to increase. AI is going to increase. Things are going to increase. They have got things now where you don't really have to go to a doctor physically. You can go to him virtually, go into a booth. They have a booth now, and it's actually at South Carolina State, because I've worked over there in that area. They have a booth that you can go inside, and you virtually go in and you sit down and talk to a doctor, and the doctor does all of the pulse of your heartbeat, of your veins. It can do all kinds of stuff while you're in this booth talking to this virtual doctor. They can do all the testing and everything into this virtual room. And then after everything is said and done, you just get up and go out and move on. And you've never physically seen a doctor anymore. You know, folks, I want you to understand that the technology is increasing. And that's letting us know that the coming of the Lord is coming closer because of so much that is going on. Listen, we need to understand. We've got to know how to cope with this. The first point today I want you to know is this. By being aware of the signs of the time, we must, as Christians, be aware of the times. The signs in nature. The signs in the nations. Clearly, Luke 21 and 29 says, "And then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are ready and budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near." Well, you can go out now and begin to look at trees, and you can see that buds are coming on it. So what does that tell us? It tells us that there's blooms that are about to take place. We see that nature is moving. We see it's evolving. We see that before our eyes. We see that there is a harvest about to take place. And so with that, Jesus lets us know that when you see the things that's around you, don't be alarmed. Know that those are those things that are coming, and it's letting us know, and it's warning us. Jesus is warning us every day. He's letting us know that when we see these things, it's not for us to be distraught. It's not for us to be all upset and shake our fist at God and why. We are to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to trust in the Lord. Don't trust in your riches. Don't trust in the things that you have. Don't store up your treasures that's here on this earth where rust and moth begins to eat away and take away, but store up your treasures in heaven, because God has a place that He's preparing for you and I, and we need to understand as we cope in this world that in our faith is not in the world, our hope is not in the world, our hope is in Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and we need to know that we can withstand anything that Jesus clearly is with us. I want you to know today, as we see it, the fig tree in this passage means as an Israel, as a nation, and all these trees we see that are budding, we see as nations. And nations in prophecy, places on a world stage. We see the technology to monitor even world commerce. Have you seen just the other day that Trump, our president, has a peace committee that he has gotten a few nations together? And we can see those things that are coming together. You see, these are things that's being fulfilled in God's Word to understand what is taking place. But we know our peace is not in this world. Our peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that will sustain us. Jesus is the one that will take care of us. Revelation 7, 13 and 17. And that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. It will come a day in this world which we're living that the Antichrist is going to want us to take a number, which we know for years and years and years, its number is 666. It'll be in our forehead or in our hand. And it's going to be for those that don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but trust in this world and all the riches and everything in the world. Jesus is clearly letting us know, as it is in the Revelation, that we're not to take that. But we are to trust in the Lord. Yet few are looking for Christ and His return. Matthew 24 and 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. He is coming. This is red letter edition. This is Jesus speaking that He will be coming at an hour that you do not expect. Signs should cause us to look up every day. These signs that I'm sharing with you today, with technology, with AI that's going on, it should cause us to draw closer to the Lord and to look up to know that our Redeemer is soon to come. Second, I want you to know today, by sizing opportunities, is to witness for Christ. And seizing opportunities to witness for Christ. Seizing the opportunities to witness for Christ. We are to witness until He returns. It is not for us to stop. It's not for us to forget about it. It's not for us to look within, but it is for us to look without, to be that witness. Acts 1 and 8 says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who has taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. In other words, we are not to stop sharing the gospel. We are still not to stop sharing the good news. We can never walk around as Christians and just assume that everybody knows about Jesus. You can't just walk around and just assume that everybody has accepted Jesus. Because they haven't. There are a lot of people that don't know about Jesus. But we, as witnesses, we have accepted, we have received, we have good news. And good news to share with one another and let each and every one know that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save them. There are signs of His return. Should increase our witnessing. Reaching out to others enables us to cope. When serving, we don't focus on our problems, but we look to others. We become very selfish when we look at our own problems. Keep looking upward. Keep looking outward until He comes. I've always said we have to get it vertical first. Once we get it vertical first, then we can get it right horizontally. We can get it right moving out once we become vertical with the Lord Jesus Christ. The time is at nigh. Third, by being diligent in devotional life. Being diligent in devotional life. Having a devotional life with the Lord. Just spending time with the Lord. I was listening to gospel music yesterday, and I was listening to some old gospel, and I'm telling you, I had tears streaming down my eyes as I was just praising the Lord in my house, just thanking Him of His goodness, and it just brought back so much memories of how good God is and how far God has taken me and what God has done in my heart and my life and how He saved me and how that He has kept me safe when I was dealing with issues and when I was dealing with things in my life, how God was able to sustain me. So therefore, I was just praising the Lord and just thinking about the good things of the Lord. Luke 21 and 33 says, "And heaven and earth will pass away." Can you imagine? Heaven's going to pass away one day. The earth is going to pass away one day. But my words will by no means pass away. God's word's never going to pass away. Why? Why, Pastor? Because He is the Word. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the Word. And I've said it and we'll say it again. Pastor, God can do anything. No, He can't. He can't do anything. He can't lie. God cannot lie. God has to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because He is the truth. And He'll never lie on you. People may lie on you. People may tell you lies. But it's one thing about it. God has never lied, and that's something He cannot do. If He says what He says in His Word, you can take it to the bank. And if He says He means what He says what He means. And that's one thing that we can be assured of. God's Word endures through troubled times. We must be diligent in our private worship. Let me say that again. We must be diligent in our private worship. You see, the Pharisees in the Bible, they always wanted to be in show. So when they would go to the temple, they'd always want to make a thing of themselves to let everybody know, well, I pray three times a day. You know, I give money to the temple. You know, I this, I that. And Jesus called them out and said, "You're all doing nothing but acting and showing." He said, "But what about the man in the back pew that beats on his breast and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to step in Your temple. I'm not worthy to praise You. I'm not worthy." He said, "Who's going to get greater honor? It's going to be the one that humbles himself." Because Jesus says, "He that humbles himself shall be exalted, but those that exalt themselves is going to be humbled." And so therefore, we need to understand that God is looking for the heart of us. And He's looking for the right heart, that we would be willing to say, "Lord, I fully surrender." God's words endures through troubled times. We must be diligent in our private worship. The Bible builds our faith. Let me add that. Builds our faith. Romans 10 and 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You can't be a Christian without the Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God. People today will tell you, I'm a Christian, but are they in the Word of God? Are they reading God's Word? You've got to have the Word of God, because you've got to know how to communicate. You've got to know how to communicate with God. The Bible is what keeps us from sin, not in sin. The Bible keeps us from sin. That's our GPS. That's our go-to. That's what we have to have. That is food for our thoughts. Psalms 119:9. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is what the psalmist David said. That I might not sin against you. Your word I have hidden in my heart. We must read the Bible and pray daily. We must be diligent in our public worship. We need other believers, especially in the last days, so that we will know how to cope in the last days. When everything falls apart, we need each other. We need to be praying for each other. We need to be lifting up each other. We need to encourage one another, even in these last days. That's why Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. It seems like the more that we approach closer to Jesus, the less and less and less that we see in churches. The less and less that we see. Why? Because the enemy has got people doing other things at other times. And especially the times that God has given us, and that is to keep the Sabbath holy and for us to rest and to acknowledge Him. They've got them doing all kinds, the devil's got them kind of doing all kinds of crazy things. And not spending time together in the Lord. Listen, a strong devotional life brings peace in any storm. Let me say that again. A strong devotional life brings peace in any storm. In my closing today, when to begin applying these principles for coping? What signs of Christ and His return are now evident? What signs of Christ and His returns are now evident? What are you doing about witnessing? How consistent is your devotional life? How consistent is your devotional life? Is it a hit and miss? Is it, well, when I feel like it? Is it, well, when I've got the time? I want you to know today the time is now. Time.